Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Shalom. I want to welcome you to our Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Tennessee. We're glad you're with us today. And I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is Anthony, Mr. Anthony Cody here. We're going to get started. We're having a little snow going on, a little snow and ice out there. So, but we decided we're going to have service anyway. So, hallelujah. We got Carol back there, and people are trickling in. So, anyway, we're going to begin with the blessing of the Messiah. And let's start now. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua, amen. Okay, and we move on to Matovu. I want to welcome you, those who are watching online. We are Lion of Judah, Ar Yehuda in Hebrew. We are a Messianic Jewish congregation affiliated with the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America and the IAMCS. If you know people like, you ever watch folks like Jonathan Bernis or Jonathan Kahn, then that's we're connected to the same organization. We're going to sing Ma Tovu. So we're going to, just let me tell you a little bit about our service today. We speak Hebrew, but we also translate everything into English. And the reason we speak Hebrew is that's the language our Savior spoke. That's the language that when he stood up in the synagogue and he read, from the scroll, he was reading the same language that I'm speaking to you when I do Hebrew. So it gives you an opportunity to hear the language of our Savior. We translate everything that we do. So we're going to continue with Ma Tovu. This is a very ancient song. Ma Tovu O Halecha Yaakov Mishkanotecha Israel, how goodly thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel, v'ani beroch hasdecha Avo betecha eshtachave el hecha kadshecha beiratecha. And in thy great compassion I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will fear thy holiness, O Lord.
O Lord, I love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Okay. I'm going to continue in a moment with the Vishamru. And the Vishamru gives us the scriptural basis for the Sabbath celebration. In case you were wondering, why do we worship on Saturday? It's because this is the day, if you read in Luke 4, that our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus, this is the day that he celebrated the Sabbath. It says, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. It was his custom. And so that is when the Jewish people, and that's when the Messiah worshipped, and that's when we worship. And we find no evidence otherwise. Not that the Lord doesn't show up on other days. God worship, people can worship on Sunday and Wednesday, but the Sabbath is Saturday according to the Bible, and you can check that out in Matthew 28. If you don't believe me, just read the first few lines of Matthew 28. Okay, Visham Ruvenei Israel et HaShabbat Laso et HaShabbat Ledorotam Berit Olam Visham Ruvenei Israel et HaShabbat Laso et HaShabbat Ledorotam Berit Olam B'nei u'b'nei b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, Odhi li'olam v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha'shabbat, lasot et ha'shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, eshmayim v'et haaretz, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael, et ha'shabbat, lasod et ha'shabbat, ledorotam berit olam. Uv'yom ha'shvi, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha'shabbat lasot et ha'shabbat ledorotam berit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Say shalom b'roman, who yase shalom aleinu, ve'al kol Yisrael, v'imru, imru, amen. Shalom aleinu, ve'al kol Yisrael, b'imru, b'imru, amen. Yaseh shalom, yaseh shalom. Shalom aleinu, ve'al kol Yisrael. Yaseh shalom, yaseh shalom. Israel, Yaseh Shalom, Yaseh Shalom, Shalom Aleinu, Yaakov Israel, Yaseh Shalom, Yaseh Shalom, Shalom Aleinu, Yaakov Israel, Yaseh Shalom, Yaseh Shalom. Can you blow that shofar as good as Wendell? I don't think so. Can you? I don't think you can do as well. What do you think, Chan? You think you can do as well as Wendell? Think so? Chan thinks she can. Let's hear it. Let's see if you can do it as loud as... Hallelujah. I think that was better than Wendell. Yeah. Praise God. Good job, young man.
May okay. He who makes peace in the high places for make peace for Israel and for all mankind and say, Amen.
Amen. Yes, that was the song we just sang. May he who makes peace in the high places make peace for Israel and for all mankind and say, Amen. All right, Miss Dawn, what are we doing next?
The servant of the Lord.
And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, and to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel unto himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Mashamia, Yeshua, Mashamia, Shalom, Mashamia, Yeshua, Mashamia, Shalom.
Says to Zion, your God reigns.
Shema. So I'll stand for the Shema.
Shema
Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. Viahavta et Adonai Elohecha V'chol levavcha U'v'chol nafshecha U'v'chol me'odecha V'hayu hadivarim ha'ele Asher enochi mitzavcha Hayom al levavecha V'shinatam levanecha V'dibarta baham b'shivtecha b'beitecha U'v'lechtecha v'aderech U'v'shachpecha u'v'kumecha U'kisharta'am liot al yadecha V'hayu totofot b'neinecha U'chetavta'am al mezuzot b'beitecha U'v'isharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one.
Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity.
And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might.
And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontless between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
He's outside. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so we are, due to the snow, we're not going to have our normal Torah procession today. We're going to move on to the Midrash.
Let's see, announcements. And then,
okay. Well, why don't you give announcements?
Do announcements, and then we'll go into worship. Are you going to do the Midrash?
Please.
Are you going to do the Torah? Are you going to do a Torah passage?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead then. I'm misunderstanding what you're
okay.
Attention.
Hi, Jack. All right, sorry, a little misunderstanding here.
Can't so Ya'amod. So we're at Ya'amod.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch hu et Adonai Hamvora.
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Le'olam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Le'olam Va'ed.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher bachar banim mikol ha'amim ve'natan lanu et Torato. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Ha'Torah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Anthony Cody for his extended drash.
Okay. We'll have a short one today. I'm trying to cut them down so you'll come to the Torah class. Okay. Well, I've got actually 4 hours. No, not really. Okay, it's the Va'era, and it means, and I appeared. And it's talking about Moses and his brother Aaron. It's from Exodus chapter 6 through chapter 9. And we see today, we talked about Moses. He came into the scriptures last week in that Parsha, God moves things along in order. And we see today that Pharaoh, who, you know, when Moses and Aaron had went to Pharaoh numerous times begging for the release of the children of Israel. And, of course, his heart was very hard, and he wouldn't let them go. And, you know, they introduce him. They tell him about the God of Israel. And, you know, of course, Pharaoh, he considers himself a god, and he basically says, well, I'm a god. I don't know this god you're talking about. But today we see Pharaoh gets introduced to the God of Israel, the only god there is. He didn't know who he was, but after this calamity of all these plagues, and today we'll see that we see seven plagues come into the scriptures, Pharaoh and all the people in Egypt realize there is a God that's more powerful than the Pharaoh. You know, but God, through the plagues, he wanted the world to know who he was. God was telling the Egyptians that I will show you my power and I will bring my host out of Egypt because I am God. You see, the plagues were really miracles that were open to the whole world to see. Everyone could see them. But Moses and Aaron, they still were a little hesitant about Pharaoh, but God told them, if you read the Torah portion today in Exodus chapter 7, he said, I will give you the speech to say to Pharaoh, and I have made you master over Pharaoh. And they realized God was in control, and God controlled Pharaoh. And God tells him he's going to slay the firstborn son. That would be in next week's Parsha. But he puts upon them the blood, frogs, lice, wild animals, pestilence, boils, and hail. All are the first seven plagues that come into the land of Egypt. And what's one of the miracles about all this was it did not affect the Israelites. They were not affected by the boils and the pestilence. These plagues were things that covered all of where the Egyptians lived. Their water turned to blood. They could not drink it. The frogs were in everything that they used. They could not use anything because of the pestilence of the frogs. And the lice, if you know anything about a lice, really I guess it's called a louse, and it means it sucks blood. It just tortures whoever it hooks itself to. You're tortured. So all of these pestilences, even the hail, the hail was with fire, and you know the fire didn't melt the hail; it tore up everything. And some of y'all probably remember the hailstorm that came through here a couple years ago, and it really ripped this area apart. But you can imagine this hail here destroyed everything in sight. So the Israelites were protected. And just to sort of bring it to a little bit of a close today, not to go too long, but you know, God, if you look at this Torah portion today, you can see the beginning of Passover and the cups of Passover, because today in this Torah portion, God promised the Israelites five things. He says, I will bring you out, which to me represents the cup of sanctification. He says, I will deliver you, which was talking about the plagues, where we dip our finger into and recite the plagues. He says, I will redeem you, which is the third cup. And the third cup, I did a little bit of study on redeem, and it means to purchase something. When you redeem something, I guess it's sort of like a coupon. You redeem it, but it means to purchase something. You're paying for something when you were redeemed, and we were bought with a price. The fourth cup says, I will take you as my people, which would be the Hael cup. And then Elijah's cup, God says, I will bring you back into the land. God was telling the Israelites, there is none like me in all the world. I am the only God in the world. Other gods are made out of rock and stone, and they do not exist because they cannot speak and do things. But I am the God of all. And just to close, Isaiah 62:11 says, thy salvation comes, and his reward is with him, and his work is before him. And that's talking about Yeshua coming once again. Shabbat Shalom.
To those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Just a couple of announcements before we continue our worship. And just want to welcome everyone online. Most everyone here, I think, is family. Made it out of the snow and the ice and the sleet. We're like the mailmen. You guys are like the mailmen. And there's Aja. Aja, say hello. Amen. Well, Aja's been through it the last couple of days, and we've been praying for her. The surgery she had on her foot has kind of turned for the worse in this last week, and infection popped up there. So we need to really pray her through. They've given you, what is this, a third round of antibiotics, and they found E. coli and sepsis in the blood. So she's kind of on a real... we need, serious issue here, and we're just praying that these antibiotics work. Amen? 830 milligrams, so pretty serious there. So we will please keep Aja in your prayers. And, of course, there's others. Those of you who are on the prayer chain know of the other situations that are going on in the congregation, and I just wanted to help... lost my train of thought there. What was I? The prayer chain. Okay. Yes. Rabbi Joe is talking about his Adidas shirt. All day he's dreaming about Shabbat. So Brenda's mother, that's what I wanted to say, is in the hospital. She's got a bunch of serious things going on. Brenda's doing better with her foot, but now her mother is really in a serious situation. So keep Brenda's mother in your prayers, and Aja, and anybody else that we should really highlight, Joe, for prayer. Yeah. Okay. So let's let's pray right now. You know what? I'm gonna come back and let's anoint Aja then, and we'll pray for her. No, I don't want you to walk. Lord, we just lift up Aja to you right now in the name of Yeshua. And we just come against this attack of infection on her leg. And we just bind this attack in Yeshua's name. And we just pray, Father, you just put a hedge of protection around her. Protect her life right now. And give the doctors wisdom and help them to address the situation in a timely manner, Father, that they don't drag their feet, Lord, but they do what's necessary and needed. If she needs to go into the hospital, Lord, put a fire under them to get her there, Lord. We just come against any situation where her life would be endangered. In Yeshua's name, we protect her, Father, and protect her leg, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Lord, heal that leg and get it back to where she can walk, Lord, and without pain, Lord. We just come against the pain in Yeshua's name. And we just thank you, Father. Help Aja. Thank you, Lord. See her heart, Lord. See her heart. She's above all obstacles. She made it to congregation today in the midst of her pain, in the midst of difficulty, and she made it to the house of the Lord. So, Father, bless her, Lord, and lift her up. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Lord, and we pray also for Brenda and Brenda's mother. And we just pray right now that you would heal Brenda's mother and bring her back home, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, for healing and amongst our people and in our congregation, Lord, abundant healing in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Release your healing among us, among your people, Father. Prayed for you. I put a blanket of healing upon us. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so I do, speaking of prayer, try to keep an updated prayer needs list on the back of the bulletin so you can take that home with you during the week and pray for people. And if you see something that's not right or needs to be put on there, if you would just remind me. Because sometimes it's a little difficult to keep up with everybody's issues. But this is mostly for the congregation, not for people outside the congregation. It's congregational prayer needs.
People have issues?
Issues, yes. Issues, yes. Lots of issues.
Do you have issues? Are you watching online? Don says you have issues.
Okay. Not sure what to do with the rabbi today. He's in an odd mood. Okay. So, and you keep interrupting me and I keep losing my place. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say next.
Praise the Lord. I'm challenging you. I'm helping you to
overcome, Don.
Overcome the resistance.
Oh, I didn't know that. Was there resistance?
No, there's no resistance. Overcome the dissonance, the distortion.
All right. So, praise the Lord. Upcoming events.
The Joker.
There he goes again, John.
Upcoming events. Okay, why don't you tell us what the upcoming events then, Rabbi?
All right. Friday, February 23rd, we're going to have a combined Shabbat dinner and worship and teaching with New Life Baptist Church off the Volunteer Parkway. I'm going to repeat that. On February 23rd, please listen, we're going to have a joint service with New Life Baptist Church off the Volunteer Parkway, just past the Speedway, going towards Johnson City. And they're going to provide a spaghetti supper and salad for us and we are going to I'll be teaching, and there'll be worship. I'm not sure whether they're going to do the worship or we're doing the worship, but and we're going to be starting a Friday night service there with New Life Baptist, and it may lead to moving to their second campus, to our congregation moving over to their second campus eventually, if this works out on the Friday nights. So we may be moving over there. They have two campuses, and so this is just kind of, we're just kind of getting to know each other, and also a lot of folks want to come on Friday nights. They can't come on Saturdays, and so if we start a Friday night, this will allow people who can't ever make it on a Saturday to at least come once a month or twice a month, however often we do it, to be able to check out Messianic Worship. So that's February 23rd, New Life Baptist. I'll be giving you handouts and flyers and things.
What time, Rabbi?
It'll be at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock?
Yeah. 6 o'clock supper, 7 o'clock praise and worship. It'll be done by 9 probably. Any other messages, Dawn? Got them?
Huh?
What do you want to tell them?
Well, just that it's coming up.
Purim and Passover are coming up, and so is Pentecost, Shavuot. It's coming up after Passover, 50 days. I know it every year. On the Sunday, on the morrow after the Sabbath at Passover, I count 49 days, and I know that that is the day of Shavuot, the day of Pentecost. So I don't have to have a calendar to know. I just have to count those days. And so we're going to be doing something for Purim, and we'll be doing something for we'll be having our Passover banquet at the Holiday Inn, so where we do every year. So we'll be letting you know information about that as well. Robinson.
Okay, and that's it. We're going to have lunch afterwards. I brought a big pot of chili, and some cornbread. So you guys need to stay. I saw some other food down there. What did you have, Carol? Oh, my gosh, lamb and salad. You guys missed it. You didn't come. If Miss Carol fixed lamb, that's a treat. So, all right, that's it. Back to you.
All right. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings at this time. So I'm going to pray. And if you're watching online and you don't have a, if you don't have a Messianic congregation near you, I know I have a friend in Louisville who's watching today because her congregation is not having services. And but if you don't have a congregation near you, if you live out kind of in the sticks, or we're glad to have you be part of this congregation online. And you know, I always encourage folks, if you need a congregation near you and you don't have one, if you have a big screen TV and you can have a computer, you can show it on a big screen, and you can invite folks over, and you can. You can build your own little group there. So let us know. Contact us if you're watching. And if you'd like to donate, if you don't have a home congregation, you're welcome to give securely on PayPal online. Or if you'd like to make a gift, we always encourage folks to give to their home congregation to tithe. We believe in tithing and that people should tithe to their home congregation. Whatever you do, may God bless you. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to us, to give back to you all, because you've given us everything. And all that we have belongs to you, Lord. So we thank you for all that you've given to us, and the many blessings, Lord, especially our families and our loved ones that you've given us. You've blessed us with families and loved ones. You clothe us. You take care of us. Better than the lilies and the flowers, you clothe us, and you feed us, and keep us warm. And we give you thanks and praise. and for all that. And it reminds me about Jean, whose water has been out, but even Jean has some water. And Jean Donnelly, we thank you for Jean, that she gets her water back on. And we just pray, Lord, for this offering in the name of Yeshua, that you would bless the people 100-fold, Lord, who give. In the name of Yeshua, bless them 100-fold, and bless this offering 100-fold as well. Amen.
Shalom.
praise Him with the heart, praise Him with the drum and flute, praise Him with your heart.
Thank you.
days ago, I was getting implants put in my mouth. I had lost some teeth, and I was getting some new crowns. I was looking out the window, and there was a bird feeder, and there were about 15 sparrows feeding. And I was thinking of this song and thinking, you know, I've struggled with my teeth for a couple of years, and the Lord was taking care of me. You know, it took a long time to get those teeth replaced. A long time and a lot of money. It's very expensive. And God just said, I'm taking care of you. I'm you know, this has been a real trouble for you, and I'm fixing it. My eyes on the sparrow. He's on you, Chan. His eyes on you.
Sometimes we feel like a little sparrow, just a nothing, little bird that has no consequence whatsoever. But he really cares about you. He really does. Say, God cares about me.
God cares,
God
about,
cares
me.
About me. Hallelujah.
He sees me.
He sees me.
He sees me.
I'm a little bird.
I'm a little bird.
Sitting on the bird feeder.
Sitting on the bird feeder.
And he's feeding me his little seeds.
He's feeding me his little seeds.
And I'm just having fun in the backyard, flying around.
And I'm just having fun in the backyard, flying around. Mm-hmm.
Twitter, 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 Twitter.
It's interesting, though, because then he says, you know what? You're an eagle. You're not just a sparrow. He says, you're an eagle. And that we just need to rest in him and let him be the wind under our wings so that he can cause us to soar. Hallelujah. Go up to the heights. We have great adventures. And he says that he will give us strength to go through the storm. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes to see. Sometimes it's hard to see where we're at, what he's doing. But it's okay. Let's open our eyes. Let's open our eyes and see what's going on in heaven.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Check on. Thank you. We done? Okay. I'm going to turn that off. Hallelujah. Praise God for snowstorms and brave people who come out in them. Praise the Lord. Give yourself a pat on the back if you were able to brave an inch of snow today. Not in Kingsport. Pat yourself twice on the back. Give yourself a double pat if you were able to brave no snow in Kingsport. No, I'm really blessed for those of you who showed up today. And this blood's for you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I get to that, I want to just say it was on Passover night. Luke 22 tells us that Yeshua was having Passover meal with his disciples, his Talmidim, and he took the third cup of the Passover meal called the cup of redemption. If you'd like to join us, you can get some juice and or some fruit of the vine of your choice and some matzah or crackers, and you can join us. But Yeshua took the third cup called the cup of redemption, which we Jewish people take at the after the meal at Passover. After every Passover meal, the cup of redemption is taken together with the afikomen, which is the middle layer of three pieces of matzah or unleavened bread. And so Yeshua took it and he said of the bread, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the Brit Chadasha, the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Poured out for the forgiveness of sin. So we invite all believers in Yeshua, in the Messiah, to come to the Lord's table. And I believe we're all family here today, but I always like to give an invitation. Let's bow our heads for a moment if you are watching and you don't know who Yeshua is, but you feel a tugging on your heart this morning, something is pulling you and drawing you, that's probably him. So if you'd like to invite him to come into your heart right now, if you're watching, or even if you're here and you don't know Yeshua and you feel that tugging on your heart to come, just pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I believe that you sent your Son to pay the price for my mistakes, for my sins, for my lawlessness. I confess I've broken the Ten Commandments. I've lied. I've stolen. I haven't always honored my parents. I have not loved you with everything, with all my heart, soul, and mind. I have made other gods before you. I have worshipped other religions. But the true religion is to believe in your Son. So with this prayer, wash me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Come into my heart and write my name in your book of life. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer today and you have meant it with... it was in your heart and you believe that you received Yeshua, let us know. Drop us a line, drop us an email, message us, let us know. And if you're watching today, just message us, let us know you're out there. Send us an email. You can go to For Zion's Sake on Facebook and you can message us there. God bless you. Like us on Facebook at For Zion's Sake Ministries in Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee. Like us, and we thank you. All right, so I'm going to ask Diane and Patricia if you'd like to come and serve today. Ladies, if you wouldn't mind. Come as you're ready, folks. Thank you.
Hallelujah. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, ladies. We can bless the children. You got the music or no? We can just pray over them. Children, come on up. We're going to pray for you. And adults that want to gather around. And we got Boston here. What we got here? Tennessee. Are you a Marcus Mariota fan? Are you? No. Who are you a fan of?
Oh, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. All right.
Joey Votto.
All right, boys. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we bring the children before you. We lift them up to you. And we lift up all our kids, those who are standing here and those who are not here. We lift up... name some names, folks. Help me out.
Mark.
Daniel. Reason.
Daniel.
Josiah.
Brooke.
Who else?
Crystal Lynn.
That's what I was thinking of. Crystal Lynn. We lift up our kids, Lord, and we just pray for them, Lord. We pray that you give them success and all that they put their hands to, Lord. Give them success in school, Lord. Give them success in sports and all that they put their hands to. Give them success in work and preparing for life, for adulthood. Give them success, Lord. I pray that you prepare them helpmates in life, Lord. I pray that you would prepare helpmates for them in life, special people to help them and prepare them as well, Lord, for that time of life, Lord. And we just bless them with all the blessings of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. Lord, may all the blessings of Israel, all the blessings of the Messiah be upon them. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you anoint their ears to hear the word that you give today, Lord, that you anoint their ears to hear and to receive your word. Let us all be transformed by the renewing of our mind as we hear the word in Yeshua's name. And we pray for the people who aren't here today, that you bless them, and that you, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, Lord, bless them and help them and encourage their hearts, strengthen them. And you know what their needs are today. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okie dokie. So today, Isaac's getting ready, and I'm going to share a message called over, put on the garments of praise. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61. If you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Don. Oh, you know what? We forgot something. It was somebody's birthday this week, and I think her name is Diane. So we want to present her with a present, and we want to wish Diane a happy birthday. Diane, would you come and get your gift? Happy birthday, Diane. And you can, thank you, sweetheart. Let's all give a round of applause. She's 36.
Today with this special thank you from the congregation.
Well, I love it. Thank you.
All right. And you be blessed.
Thank you very much.
In this next year.
And Amen. It's an honor to serve here and to serve all of you here and the ones who are watching. Love you guys that are watching. Just keep praising Yeshua. Press through all the hard times. So thank you for this honor today. And Shabbat Shalom to everyone.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Diane. Isaac, you can bring that closer, if you would. Several feet. I appreciate it. Thank you. That's my son, Isaac, setting up the camera there. He's my number one son, big guy, Mr. Isaac Bell, ladies and gentlemen. All right, today's message is put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so we're going to talk about that. But let's read the word, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks. Foreigners will be your farmers and vine dressers. But you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. Hallelujah. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering. And I'm going to stop there. But I will say this. He goes on to say, and I will faithfully give them their recompense. He's talking about the Jewish people. Because of all the trouble the Jews have suffered in the world, he says, I'll give them their recompense and make an everlasting covenant with them. Then their offspring will be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. And all who see them will recognize them because they're the offspring whom the Lord has blessed. Those are the Messianic Jews. Those are the Messianic Jews. Sometimes you can see yourself right in the Bible. You know, you can actually see God talking about you. Sometimes he talks about the nations, about the Gentiles, and sometimes he talks about the Jews. There's only two kinds of people out there. In God's world, in God's economy, there's two kinds of people. There's Jews and there's non-Jews. And then there's Jewish believers and there's non-Jewish believers. And you might say, well, why do you distinguish Jewish believers from non-Jewish? Well, because God does. And if you read John chapter 10, he says to his Jewish believers in Jerusalem when he's there for Hanukkah, he says to the Jewish believers, I have sheep from another fold, which is a second fold. I have sheep from another fold that you know not of, and I must bring them too, and together they will be one flock. Together they will be one flock. So, but all the Jews, he doesn't mean one group. What he means is, he says in John 17, he says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I have, he says, I've prayed for them that they may be one, that we may be one. He says, perfected in unity, perfected in unity, that we may be one, perfected in unity. Not that there won't be two folds, a Messianic Jewish fold which, and a church. The second fold is the church. When he says, I have sheep from another fold that you know not of, he's talking about the church. He's saying, he's prophesying to his disciples, I'm going to bring the Gentiles in. And you don't know it. And you don't get it. And they're going to be another fold. They're going to be a separate fold. But together you're going to be one in unity, perfected in unity, that the world might believe. That's the key. The key to revival of the world is when the Jewish, Messianic Jewish community, and you don't have to be Jewish to come to a Messianic Jewish congregation. You just have to be called, you know. You just have to want to come to a Messianic Jewish congregation. Not everybody is Jewish. But some are called to the church. And I think the church has a place. The church is a very important part of the picture. Because without the church, there can't be unity. But I want to say this to the church. Without the Messianic Jewish community, the believing Jews, that there can't be unity either. And so you don't want me or Messianic believers to be in the church. Because if we're in the church, we can't be in unity with the church. Does that make sense? If we're in the church, we can't be in unity with the church. And therefore, the prayer of Yeshua, of Jesus in John 17, that we'll be perfected in unity, the two folds of John 10, the Jewish fold and the non-Jewish fold, the church and the Messianic community, can't be one if everybody's part of the same group. So there's a place in the world for the church. God loves the church, and God loves the Messianic Jewish community, and it's like a husband and wife. We both have a role to play. Amen? Amen. So let's get back to putting on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So I was reading a teaching by Terry Somerville, and I'm going to quote some of it. Satan overcoming the spirit of heaviness. And first of all, I just want to say, heaviness is a spirit. Depression, fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, anger is rooted in fear, bitterness, all these things, financial worry, distress, fear of sickness, fear of death, fear of flying, fear of elevators, fear of heights, fear of tunnels. It's all rooted in the spirit of heaviness. It's a spirit. When you wake up, how many of you ever wake up some days and you just, like, you don't know what's come on you, you know, something's hit you, and if you don't feel good, it's not so much physically, you just feel depressed, you feel heaviness, you feel negative, something's not right. How many, if you've ever experienced that, just raise your hand. If you've ever, you know, felt that, thank you for being honest. That is a spirit. And God says, put on the garments of praise. Well, I'm going to explain what that is. Hasatan, Satan, is called the adversary. He opposes us in our walk with God. He uses many tricks and devices. One of his tactics is to send a spirit of heaviness upon us. When we recognize this, we are able to overcome him easily. When we recognize that there's a spirit of heaviness on us, of depression, of worry, of fear, of doubt, of fear of flying, fear of heights, fear of elevators, fear of people, fear of crowds, fear of sickness, whatever, when we recognize there's a spirit. Now, there's wisdom to be used. You know, if some people have, you know, my mother is 91. She's in hospice. You know, it's a cold day in Boston today. Not a good day to be at. It's icy. 91, she has a tendency to fall. She walks with a walker. Not a good day to be out on an icy day for a 91-year-old lady with a tendency to fall. Right? That's wisdom. Amen? Stay home. Stay home. You know, when there's you know, it's 6 degrees in Times Square, it's New Year's Eve, instead of waiting 6 hours in line, maybe when I was 20 I would do it, but at 52, a two-time cancer survivor, I'm not going to stand 6 or 7 hours waiting for New Year's Eve in 6-degree weather. It's just not smart. Amen? So we need to use wisdom, guys and gals. We need to have in all that and our choices, you know. But heaviness can come upon us by our own actions, but it also can be an attack from the enemy. Okay. Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do you know that the ability to praise and to enter into worship is a spirit? Do you know that the garment of praise in Jewish, in the Bible and in Jewish culture, the mantle, like my prayer shawl here, represents the anointing. If you read in 2 Kings 2 about Elijah and Elisha, Elisha, the disciple, the student of Elijah, he asked his master, Elijah. Elijah said, I'm leaving. He says, what shall I do for you? Ask of me what I shall do for you. And Elisha asked Elijah, give me a double portion of your spirit. And now Elijah had already thrown a mantle on him. He'd already given him his cloak at the very beginning in 1 Kings 19. So the boy had one cloak from the prophet, but Elisha asked for a double portion of the spirit. And so Elijah said to him, what you ask a difficult thing of me. You ask a difficult thing. But if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be as you say. And then Elijah was taken, and it said, Elisha the prophet looked up. He said, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horses. And the chariots of God came down from heaven in a whirlwind, and they took a prophet Elijah up to heaven. And that was basically, he was taken up. He died. And we don't know whether his body was left and his spirit went up, or whether apparently he was just somehow translated, kind of like beam me up, Scotty, because Elisha didn't bury him. What he did, though, it says he rent his garments. He tore his garments. And that meant he's in Jewish culture, to tear your garments is to mourn. Is a sign of mourning. Even to this day, Jewish people tear their garments at a funeral. Those who are immediate family tear their garments because it's a sign of mourning the deceased. And they do it to this day. But what happened when Elijah was taken up to heaven, his mantle, his prayer shawl, which I'll show you, it came down from the heavens, and the boy prophet Elisha caught it, and he picked it up and he put on the mantle of the man of God, Elijah, and all of a sudden he had power. He went and he took the mantle and he rolled it up and he smote the waters of the Jordan River, and the Jordan River parted, and the sons of the prophets were on the other side of the Jordan, and they saw Elisha take the mantle of Elijah and he smote the Jordan River. It parted, and they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they knew a new sheriff was in town. A new prophet had arrived. Amen? Amen. So that garment, by putting on the mantle of the prophet, represents his anointing, his spirit. So you know, a prayer shawl isn't just a garment of prayer. It isn't just a garment of which has the four tassels, the tzitzit, you know, hanging from it. It represents a man's prayer shawl. Represents all of his substance. It represents his spirit, his anointing, his wisdom, his knowledge, his mantle. It's his anointing. Everything that God has given him, all the gifts of God are wrapped up, you know, in that man's mantle. You know, you ever heard the expression walking in somebody's shoes, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes? You're walking in their shoes. That what that means is, you know, when you're walking in somebody else's shoes, you're walking in their mantle. You're walking in their and their you know, and their and what their life is, what their gifting is, and so forth. So God uses clothing, mantles, shoes. Well, not shoes isn't really in the Bible so much, but mantles are. So let's read on here. Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. It's a spirit. This is a physical man. This is a shadow. This is just a picture for you of the spirit of praise. This mantle, what I'm wearing is this, I'm wearing this prayer shawl, represents the garment of praise. And instead of, for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The word spirit in Hebrew is ruach. This is the same word used for all spiritual life and beings, including God. It is used also of breath and air. It does not mean a feeling or attitude. This is not man's own spirit, which is called the spirit of man. This is not God's spirit, nor can it be from God. The spirit of heaviness is not God's spirit. Okay, you agree with that? The spirit of heaviness is not God's spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. Okay? Y'all hearing me? The spirit of heaviness, the spirit of depression, the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety, the spirit of anger, the spirit is not from God. It's from the other side. It's from the dark side. The spirit of violence, the spirit of all these things that are negative, it's not God's spirit. It's demonic spirit. Okay? And that's what the spirit of heaviness is. Heaviness means somewhat dark, darkish, wax, dim, smoking, heaviness, dim, dull, colorless, dark, be dark, faint. It is a word used in the Bible to describe the effect of a plague, the darkening of the skin, the dimness of the eyes in old age, a fire gone out of a flax reed, still smoking and not extinguished, a heavy spirit, the effect of a spirit of heaviness. This is the effect of a spirit of heaviness. It darkens our countenance. Our hearts are downcast. We're hopeless. This spirit of heaviness brings a heaviness on us. It dims our vision. It steals our hope. It gives us no future, no brightness, no sunny day. The room may actually look darker. The world looks dark. Everyone around us and everything is darker. It brings a heavy, oppressive feeling. It steals, it quenches our faith and our spirit. It may come over many at once, like a plague. It can be like a cloud hanging over a place. It causes us to isolate. It steals our love for one another and it makes us feel alone. It makes us feel alone. But you don't have to live in that. Everybody say, I don't have to live in that. There's a better life for me. Say that. There's a better life for me. There's light. You know, what does the Bible say when it starts? It says, in the beginning, there was darkness over the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Amen. In the beginning, there was a spirit of heaviness over the earth, but God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that light overcame the spirit of heaviness. It overcame the darkness. Somebody give me an amen. Amen. Recognize it. This is not you. You are a child of God. This is not God's will for you. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Don't believe anything negative. When the spirit of heaviness comes upon you, fight it. You think under its influence, accept no criticism of yourself or others. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to the authority of Yeshua the Messiah. Put on the garment of praise, Isaiah 61:3. This literally means to be wrapped up in praise. Put on the garment of praise. I've got my prayer shawl on. This is a physical example of a spiritual. Now, God can anoint my prayer shawl just as he anointed Elijah's prayer, his garment, when Elijah's garment came down from heaven, from the chariots, when he was going up to heaven. God had anointed the garment. And so when the boy prophet put on the garment, he got the double portion of his master. But you see, not every garment is anointed. God doesn't anoint every Torah scroll. God doesn't anoint every shofar. God doesn't anoint every Hanukkah or menorah. He anoints what he pleases. Okay? His spirit rests on people. And his spirit rests on things. His spirit can rest in words. Hallelujah. So put on the garment of praise. This literally means to be wrapped up in praise. God has given it to you to put on. Take action, including adoration, thanksgiving, singing, and glorifying. Get loud, get definite, aggressive, wrestle it down. Ephesians 6, and break into the anointing. Don't give in to the spirit of heaviness. Don't give in to the spirit of death, the spirit of depression, the spirit of fear, the spirit of fear of sickness, fear of flying, fear of heights, fear of elevators, fear of stairways, fear of going in tunnels, fear of driving. Fear will bind you up and lock you in your room in darkness if you let it. If you allow fear in, it'll overtake you. Hallelujah. But instead, say, when you recognize that the spirit of heaviness and darkness and fear and depression and negativity and anger and violence and murder and depression is upon you, that's when you need to pray. God, deliver me. Okay. But before you get into praising, sometimes if heaviness is a spirit, then praise is a spirit too, right? And you can just start praising. And the Bible gives us some examples, and we're going to look at a few before we close, a few examples of these things. Let's look. Sometimes people prayed. Now let's look at 2 Chronicles 20, the story of Jehoshaphat. God, actually, before Philippians 4 says, okay, as we go to 2 Chronicles 20, I'm just going to quote Philippians 4, 7, I believe it is. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. It says, I'm sorry, be anxious for nothing. That's where I'm getting at. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind through Messiah Yeshua. So what's God giving a recipe? He's saying, be anxious for nothing. Don't let any spirit of heaviness, don't let fear of death, fear of flying, anger, hatred, violence, depression, thinking that everybody hates your guts, that you have no friends, that you're a loser. The devil's going to tell you, you're a loser, you have no friends, nobody likes you, you're worthless, you're ugly, you're useless, you might as well just go jump off a building. The devil's going to tell you that. Didn't the devil tell that to Jesus? Jump off the building. You're the Messiah. You know, surely nothing will happen to you. And Yeshua said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Do not, God's word says, do not put the Lord thy God to the test. Amen? But you have to recognize. So let's see in 2 Chronicles 20, we see Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat's the king of Judah. And he's surrounded by enemies. He's surrounded by enemies. Let's see who he's surrounded by. Praise the Lord. Now it came about, verse 1, after this, that the sons of Moab, the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Maonites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram. And behold, they are in Hazaron Tamar, that is in Gedi. Jehoshaphat, that's in Gedi's about a couple hours by horse, maybe 4 hours, 5 hours walking, maybe a day from En Gedi from Jerusalem, okay? It's a day's journey by walking, maybe on horse, it's a half a day, you know, a few hours to get from En Gedi down by the Dead Sea to Jerusalem. It's very close. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention. So hordes of enemies, Ammonites, Moabites, was it Gideon that fought the Moabites? Or were they the Midianites? They were the Midianites. But there were thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of Moabites and Ammonites, and they surrounded Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Okay, so the spirit of heaviness came, right? They were in distress. Amen? Distress is part of the spirit of heaviness. So they were in distress. So what do? They prayed. They went to the Lord in prayer. They didn't know what to do. Everybody say, they didn't know what to do. But they did know to pray. So they went to their God and they prayed to God and they said, God, save us. Help. And here's his prayer, verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? Are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and strength are in your hands, O Lord. None can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? They have lived in it and have built a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. See, they didn't know what to do, so they prayed. They weren't sure how to fight. How do we fight an army that's 10 times the size of us? How do we fight that? How do we do battle against an army that if we're 100, if we're 10,000 and they're even 20 times, 200,000? How do we fight that? So they ask God, what do we do? God gives an answer. Now behold, the sons of Ammon, verse 10, and Moab and Mount Seir, who did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. They turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, and the sons of Asaph. He said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Israel, of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. So the word of the Lord is now coming. They've prayed for deliverance. They don't know what to do, but God's encouraging them now. A prophetic word comes forth. Don't be afraid. The battle is the Lord's. And then it says, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. He says, don't fight, but go and face them. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites from the sons of Kohathites and the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a very loud voice. What did they do? They put on the garments of praise. God gave them the answer. They prayed because they didn't know what to do. God said, put on the garments of praise. In verse 20, they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you'll be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. When he consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. They went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. When they began singing and praising the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed, for the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. They destroyed each other. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Praise God. And then Judah and Jehoshaphat and his people took the spoil. They took the booty and the plunder. Hallelujah. So the spirit of heaviness came on the sons of Judah. They were surrounded by their enemies. Spirit of distress and heaviness and fear. They doubted. You know, they were scared. But they prayed to God. Sometimes you're so, spirit of heaviness is on you, you can't praise God. The spirit is so heavy, you can't sing to God. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to pray. How's it go? See you. I want to see you. You know, sometimes you can't even do that. You've got such a spirit of heaviness on you that you can't even worship God. But you can pray. You can. There's not a single person in this room or watching on TV today, there's not a single person who can't look up and say, or get on your knees, help! Everybody say, help. Help! Help! The battle is yours. Give me the garments of praise. Give me the victory, Lord. Give me the victory. And so God showed them what to do. They didn't know. They prayed for deliverance. And God said, worship me. And when you worship God, the enemy is sent running. When you really worship God, when you praise God, when you worship Him, I have survived as a rabbi. I have survived 21, 22 years of ministry with my wife. Our marriage has survived, and I would say for one reason, two reasons. We praise the Lord, and we pray. We pray. We keep praising the Lord. We keep praising the Lord. And number two, we forgive each other. We forgive each other. Our relationship has lasted. We've been together. This will be our 21st year of marriage. We've been together for 22 years this February. We've been together for almost 22 years, 21 years of marriage. And we've lasted because we forgive each other and we praise the Lord. Could we do it more? Yes. Could we pray more? Yes. But that's the reason we've survived. Hallelujah. Mary Brady would be shouting right about now. She probably is. Let's look at Paul and Silas, Acts 16. I don't have too much more. Now, sometimes it's the reverse. Sometimes let's see what Paul and Silas did, okay? Acts 16:16. It happened as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. It took him several days to figure out she was demon-possessed. It took him a while to figure it out. What's wrong with this girl? Why does she keep shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and following them around, proclaiming it? At first, they probably liked it. You know, this girl's telling everybody we're bondservants of the Most High God. But after about hearing it 300 times, they started to realize something's not right. So what do? Paul, in verse 18, she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. Come out of her in the name of Yeshua. Spirit, you evil spirit, come out of her. And the spirit came out right at that moment. Come out. And it left her. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the market. Placed before the authorities, and when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans. Paul and Silas were imprisoned. Crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas, after a horrible beating, a terrible beating, probably no food, probably very little water or anything to drink, and they're in jail, and around midnight, praise God. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with the fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he was converted, and his whole household, it says. And Paul and Silas, they went back. Let's read on. They went back to his house, and he took them that very hour of night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. He brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Now when the day came, chief magistrates sent their policemen, saying, "Release those men." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, they went back to jail. And they got released. Even though God opened the doors, they didn't disobey the law. They went back to the jail, and they waited to be released. Not just from God, but from man, because God honors the law of man. You understand that? God honors the law of man. And so he waited for them. He knew they were going to be released. But it says, Paul and Silas, about midnight, they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening, and the jailer was listening, and there was an earthquake, and all the chains came undone, and all the doors were unlocked. If you want to be set free, are you listening to me? If you want to be set free, it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. God has set me free. So many times he set me free from attacks, from bondage, from sickness, from terrible things. He has set me free. But sometimes I begin with prayer. God, I know that I have the spirit of heaviness. I've said it to God. I have a spirit of heaviness. There's another scripture in the Psalms. It says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me?" And I'll wake up, or I'll walk, I'll know, I'll sense it in myself. Why are you disturbed? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? I can sense it. And I'll pray, "God, take this heaviness, take this spirit of heaviness, take this downcast, this depression from me, lift this darkness." And then I'll go to praising the Lord. Amen. And God always delivers me. And when you praise the Lord, and that's why we have dance. And I remember Rabbi Peter said, dance isn't just for the women. You know, you don't know me. Nobody here knows me. Because if you knew me, I would be dancing. But I'm up here doing the bass and singing, so I can't be out dancing. But when I weighed a lot less and didn't have some foot problems when I was 20 years ago, when I came to town 20 years ago, and I was a younger man, early 30s, and I went to Living Waters Family Church with Ed and Kathy Bowers, and each service they'd be praising, putting on that, "I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord." And they would play songs like that, and I would be dancing. They didn't do the dance we do in circles, and they just danced. Everybody's just bopping along, moving, dancing, and the chains are falling off. And that's what he means is it Romans 12, "Let your offer yourselves, your bodies, as living sacrifice unto God." Offer yourself, your body, as a living sacrifice Don't be a frozen chosen sitting in a pew. God's not looking for pew warmers. He's looking for worshipers. He's looking for people to get up, clap their hands, use the tambourine, blow the shofar, dance around the room, dance in your seat. If you can't dance with the circle, men can dance together. Women can dance. I'd like to see the men dance. Wendell, when he comes, he gets the men dancing from time to time, you know, and he's not ashamed. Is Wendell a man's man? Can I get an amen? Wendell is a twinkle toes. Somebody said Wendell's a twinkle toes. Okay, Wendell's a twinkle toes, but everybody's laughing now. But Wendell gets the men dancing, you know. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to call him Twinkle Toes. Just kidding. All right, so King David in 1 Samuel 16 says he played the harp for Saul. And every time he played the harp for Saul, the evil spirit that was in Saul left. Amen? Now, there's one last verse I want to share, and that's in Exodus 5, Moses. And that applies to last week's Torah portion and in Exodus chapter 5. Moses goes to Pharaoh. God tells him to. And says, let my people go. and Pharaoh says, not only am I not going to let your people go, he increases their labor. He makes it harder on them. It says, verse 1, and afterward Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. And they were probably, Moses and Aaron were probably pumped up thinking, okay, this is easy. We did it. Now he's going to let them go, and our job's done, right? It's all over now. We'll pack up, and we'll head for River City. Amen? Uh-uh. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go. And I could just see Moses and Aaron's countenance going, meow. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. We may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. The king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors. Again, Pharaoh said, look, to the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labors. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and their foremen, saying, you are no longer to give the people straw to make brick as previously. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the quota of bricks which they were making previously, you shall impose on them. You are not to reduce any of it, because they are lazy. Therefore they cry out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let the labor be heavier on the men, and let them work at it, so that they will pay no attention to the false words. So the taskmasters of the people and their foremen went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I'm not going to give you any straw. And the foremen of Israel, sons of Israel, went to Pharaoh and says, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to us? We can't possibly gather all that straw and make the same quota of bricks. How are we going to do this? We can't do it. And they got angry with Moses. The people got angry with Moses. Let's see here. Pharaoh called them lazy. And it says in verse 20, when they left Pharaoh's presence, the foremen of the children of Israel who were leading them, they met Moses and Aaron as they were waiting for them. They said to them, may the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us hateful, odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in the hand to kill us. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? You think that's a spirit of heaviness on Moses? You think he was feeling a little spirit of heaviness? God's, the whole people, all the children of Israel hated his guts. God sent him to deliver them. He goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, not only am I not letting them go, now they have to gather all the straw to make the bricks and the same quota of bricks. And Moses is like scratching his head. Wait a second. Your God, you sent me to this guy. It's not working. Hello? And so now Moses goes to God. You think he's happy? You think he's jumping for joy? No. You think he's got a little spirit of heaviness? I'd say. But he does the right thing. Unlike Judas, who ran from God. Some people run from God. When the spirit of heaviness, when the spirit of anger, when the spirit of hatred, when the spirit of murder, when the spirit of violence, when the spirit of divorce, when the spirit of fear and the spirit of doubt and depression comes upon people, they run from God. You want to know what you need to do? Run to God. Run to your rabbi. Run to your pastor. Run to the dancers. Run to the synagogue. Run to the house of the Lord. Worship. Run to prayer on Wednesday nights. Run to service on Shabbat. Don't walk. Run. Amen. Call a cab. You afraid to drive? You afraid? Got a little spirit of fear? Call a cab to take you. The roads were clear. Hallelujah. I understand if you're far away and you live over the mountains in North Carolina or something and there's ice on the roads. I don't want you to put yourself in danger. But if you can get here and there's no, you need to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. God can't set you free. And he says in Leviticus, he says, when you celebrate the Sabbath, celebrate it as a solemn assembly, an assembly. That doesn't mean celebrate it in your house, knitting a quilt or reading a book. That means come to the congregation. He says, do not forsake the assembling together, gathering together in the New Testament. Don't forsake it. God tells us, he commands us to come together on the Sabbath. My goodness. Do you think people in Minnesota, when it's 3 degrees out, do you think the people in Minnesota skip church? I lived in Minnesota with Dawn. You think they skip church every Sunday in the winter because it's 3 degrees or minus 3 degrees or minus 10? They don't skip anything. They don't skip the football games. They don't skip church either, I'll tell you. Because you know why? I used to go. I lived there for a year with Dawn on and off. We lived there in the wintertime. And we went. We got up. You know, we had to plug in our cars with heaters. Everybody had a plug for their car to warm their engine overnight because your car wouldn't start in the sub-zero weather in the wintertime. And you had to warm your cars overnight. And we got up, and it didn't matter how cold it was. As long as the roads were passable, we went to the house of the Lord, whether it was the Messianic synagogue or to the church, wherever we were going, we got in the car, we bundled up, and we went. And we did the same thing in Massachusetts. So toughen up, Tennesseans. Toughen up, Virginians. Toughen up, North Carolinians. Toughen up. Because the people up north sure as heck are. I'll tell you that much. Going back to Moses. Moses prayed. Oh Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourn, Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage. I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Then I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, which Donald Trump just proclaimed, the eternal Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the Jewish people, in accordance with God's word. And I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Israel belongs to the Jewish people, not because they own it, but because God gave it to them. It's right there in the Bible, Exodus 6. You think Moses was now encouraged? I'd say he was. Now I'm going to finish. Did Moses praise the Lord? No. He prayed, but did he sing to the Lord there? No. Did he do his happy dance? No. Did he receive the word? Yes. How do we know he received the word from God? He came back. He went back to Pharaoh. He kept doing his job. He didn't quit. Obedience. He stayed on. He kept doing what he was doing, right? When did they praise the Lord? When? When they crossed the Red Sea. That's when they all danced. They took out their timbrels and their tambourines, and they praised the Lord and thanksgiving for all that God had done for them. Sometimes we remove the spirit of heaviness by praising the Lord, and sometimes we pray, God delivers us, and then we praise Him. There's two ways. Sometimes we have to pray and praise in order to get the devil off our back, get that old monkey off our back, get that spirit of heaviness and depression and death and hatred and murder and violence off of us. We have to praise God to get that off, like Paul and Silas did in the jail. They prayed and they praised and the chains came off. And sometimes we pray and God speaks to us and encourages us and we keep going, but the deliverance is delayed. And they didn't praise Him until they crossed the sea. They didn't take out their tambourines and dance until God parted the Red Sea through Moses, when Moses raised his staff over the waters, and when they got to the other side and they sang the song of Moses. Amen? Amen? Amen. They sang the song of Moses and they danced, and Miriam led them. All the children of Israel danced and praised the Lord. Sometimes the praise comes after the deliverance, and sometimes it comes before. But never forget to pray and ask God. When you recognize the spirit of heaviness, and you need the spirit of praise, pray. If you can't forgive somebody, forgiveness is a spirit. You can't just say, oh, I forgive you. Somebody drives their car intentionally into you. Guy cut me off yesterday. I was driving at exit 7. I was turning left onto, there from off Lee Highway to go towards the 81, to the interstate. And it's a double turn, and the guy cut me off. He was in the right turning lane, and he cut me off. I was in the very left turning lane, and he drove right, almost pushed me off the road. And I honked, and I was mad. I was ticked off. Then I drove past him because I had to get on the highway, and I looked, and it was a little old man, a little old lady, you know. And I just said, oh, man, he shouldn't be driving. He shouldn't be driving. Now, some people shouldn't be driving. There just comes a time when it's time to put down the car. And for this guy, it was yesterday. You know, but I was angry. And I had to forgive him. You know, I think seeing he was a little old man, a little old lady, helped me find that spirit of forgiveness. Amen. But if it was a young guy, I think I would have been ticked off. Or if it was a young gal, I'd have been ticked off that they cut me off. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes people stab us in the back and we don't just forgive right away. Forgiveness is a spirit. But whether you, if you pray for God, just like Jehoshaphat, what do? Deliver us. God will show you the way. And whether in Jehoshaphat's case, praise was the answer to delivering them, or whether in Moses' case, praise came afterward, God will give you the recipe. Amen? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Please stand up. I want to bless you. Yeah. Oh, you want to let Diane show everybody what we gave her? Okay. Diane, coming up and show everybody. And we turn this mic on here. Mic 3, please. Diane, you tell the people what you got.
Well, I have a book by Jeannie Nigro, Unshaken, Standing Strong, In Uncertain Times. That's by Jeannie Nigro. And it's signed by Jeannie Nigro. It was a special gift, I guess, from her to Miss Dawn, Robinson Dawn, and Rabbi. And they shared and gave that to me. So, Unshaken, Standing Strong in Uncertain Times. And that's appropriate right now. I'll read and share maybe little nuggets as we go along. And then also a wonderful, beautiful banner. I just love it. And I was trying to make out what it's.
It says Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Okay.
Jerusalem.
That's what I was thinking because that's a closed mem.
Yeah.
Yudresh.
Yeah. That's Vav.
Vav.
Shin, Resh, Yud, Mem.
I don't know if you could focus in on that, Carol. But this is beautiful. Thank you so much. I love it. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday. We love you. Praise the Lord. All right. Please stand. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panaveilecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Shabbat shalom. God bless you. Like us on Facebook. And sign up for our newsletter, my teaching newsletter every month, and we'll send it to you by mail or email. Thank you for watching. God bless you all. Shabbat shalom. There's Oneg, and it's been great.